Have you looked at the Last Jedi remake website?
Yeah, you heard about silly, this? Of course I haven't looked at it. I'll give it a moment's thought.
It is hilarious.
Is it? I know there was some inside. Talk about someone doing something. I know I saw a tweet about someone suggesting something similar for something else entirely, which was very amusing, but I can't remember what it was. But no, I mean, I saw it was happening and thought, well, no, it was, go away.
It is really go away. It is absolutely. So remake The Last Jedi. What is there's just so much fucking bullshit on it that it just, well, just, I mean, blows my fucking
for all
mind.
Its faults, it's out there now. You can't do anything about it. I mean, do these people not know about copyright law and things?
Well, this is the first thing that is amusing. This is a campaign to provide Disney an opportunity to course correct with Disney franchise by obviously removing one of their films. The goal is not only to not make one half of the fandom happy over the other, it's to make a film that fandom, e.g. them, is in general happy with. But it sort of then says, legal disclaimer, this is not an attempt to infringe on any copyrights and trademarks of Disney and Lucasfilm. Trying to cite this video is a parody that's aimed to wear awareness of the campaign. It's like, no, it's not. You've stipulated quite clearly that you are remaking their film. And you are asking money for it. And this is the other bit of bullshit, is that they've put that they've got total pledged $368 million, which a few days ago they were pointing out that they had more pledged than the solo film actually made in its first 4 days. However, this is just non-obligatory pledges. You do not have to give any money over at all. It's just how much you would pledge. So this is $368 million. You know, you could quite happily pledge $100 million. And that would be fine because there's no obligation to it. So everything about it is, and then it's got three quotes at the bottom, and I'm sure they're inaccurate because I'm pretty sure Mark Hamill never actually said, it's along the lines of what was sort of said. I pretty fundamentally disagree with every choice you've made for this character, which I think he sort of was saying retrospectively is something that he said to Rian Johnson before he then decided it was all right, but being taken out of context and dropped in there. And there is, I think, have they taken it down? Because there was a piece somewhere, I'm sure this has changed since I last saw it, that was sort of suggesting that there was, it's in their Twitter feed, that was it. Where it was sort of trying to argue that this was important because, you know, how, so I can't remember where it was, you know, just how bad The Last Jedi was. And
if you've got £350 million, wouldn't you just create your own
movie
universe? And
yeah.
Why?
But that's it. All they've got. It's just anyone could do that. Anyone could. I mean, you could just say, if there's no stipulation of identity, you just need to give your email address and then select your pledge total. And you can pledge up to $10,000. So that's all it is.
Right.
And thus now they're going across Twitter saying they've got $368 million. And it's like, no, you haven't. You can't do that. Why are we allowing people to make that? Because it is damaging. You know, I still think Kathleen Kennedy has done, and Lucasfilm has done a far better job than the prequels did.
The prequels did. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I do feel as though that there maybe isn't enough of a cohesion between the two movies as there is with the more recent Marvel movies.
Oh, definitely. I think there's a... But in a sense, I kind of admire that. You know, we always say, well, the cash cow, they just do go with what is safe. You know, you get... Here they sort of was very much like, we have no direct game plan here. It's basically the showrunner of each film will give their version of that film. And that's kind of cool. I thought it was kind of cool that Rian Johnson was allowed to do what he wanted to do rather than some overall Bible that Disney has decided that has to stick to J.J. Abrams' version. I thought, yeah, that's fresh. But no. And it's just frustrating. Like, you know, I didn't particularly like The Force Awakens that much, but I know a lot of kids loved it.
Yeah.
The Last Jedi I thought was, as we've said, subversive and interesting. Solo I thought was a damn fun movie, and Rogue One was quite challenging.
Yeah.
So that out of four films is far better than the fucking prequels, and yet people are here demanding that, you know, because the two, there's one at the moment doing the rounds on Twitter about the admiral with the purple hair, and how, you know, who would have a purple haired admiral in their rebellion, and people have said who would have a fish admiral in their rebellion. But it's just these weird things, and I still think a lot of it comes down to stupidities over who they think Luke Skywalker should be, and then there's this stupid fear of women characters and emasculated male characters, which,
well, I don't know. I think there's a bit of context is required as well. I mean, there's obviously no fear over Leia, so I know that.
Well, space float Leia has been a problem.
That's not Leia, is it? That's something that happens. So,
yes.
And there was early days. There was problems with Rey, wasn't there? But I think they've mainly gone once they've seen her in action. I think when you introduce a character, you know, it's the dog in The Simpsons, isn't it? It's that whole thing. It's like introducing a new character who's supposed to be cool and hip, and telling the audience that that character is cool and hip, and really it's just an annoying character. The Simpsons did it to illustrate that point, using a dog with shades and a baseball cap. And that's pretty much what Admiral Holdo is, really. She's like a character that you've never heard of before, who just comes in and essentially takes over. And I think that is where the problem lies. I mean, you know, you can't do anything about it now. It's been done. That's what it is. But I think that is jarring for people who like the familiarity of the universe.
But that's the problem, because the universe is never built on familiarity. In fact, you could say every film is built on that sort of media res sort of things in the middle where you don't know all these characters.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you could say the same for Mon Mothma in Return of the Jedi, couldn't you?
Absolutely. And I think with Holdo, obviously, the big thing about her is that she's brought in as this just slightly, what comes across as slightly bureaucratic, stuffy general who is there just to get in the way of Poe.
Yeah.
And that ultimately reveals that actually Poe is, you know, quite realistically, and unlike most films, is actually destroying everything with good intentions.
Yeah.
And what she is doing is actually good. I mean, I would still argue, yeah, the resolution was poorly thought out. But attacking the Star Destroyers with one ship and causing that amount of damage, as we said before, is, you know, for the universe, is very questionable. Why no one's ever done that before? Why need a Death Star if that's all you need?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a lot of it is still down to this cultural tension we seem to have over roles of men and women, and that seems to be a lot of the thrust of the. And obviously, as you say, the difference with this and Marvel is that Disney can do a lot more with Marvel because it's not got that sort of cultural embedded factor to it. You know, Star Wars means specific things to specific people.
The Marvel universe is hugely diverse in pretty much every sense already, isn't it? So they can just
and largely unknown outside of Spider-Man People don't really know these characters, so they're open to how they're interpreted. But yeah, I think you're right. So how Luke is interpreted in The Last Jedi has a massive impact for a lot of people who genuinely find it frustrating, even though I'd argue they've misunderstood who Luke is. For them, it doesn't matter. For them, he's something specific, which this film hasn't given them. There's no doubt that if Disney thought they could do with this as they've done with Marvel, they were being very blind.
Well, I was seeing something mentioned that Mark Hamill was saying how, it might not be Mark Hamill, but it was someone, maybe paraphrasing Mark Hamill, how he changed from being an optimistic young chap. But he was a pain in the arse.
Yeah.
The young Luke Skywalker. He was a frustrated, angry.
Yeah.
Losing his temper, impatient.
Yeah.
So, and then he became the Jedi Luke, and most of that went. So, you know, people change throughout their lives. So it isn't.
And he was a pretty dark Jedi as well, for whether it was just writing or not. You know, he force grips a Gamorrean guard. He wears black. He's still on the cusp of crossing over to the dark side. He's not this valiant white knight of hope that, like you say, people say he was, and he was never meant to be. He was meant to be almost like the mirror of his father.
I mean, that's you've pretty much described Obi-Wan, haven't you?
When
you say white knight, that's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah, because he doesn't. I mean, I can't remember if I said it to you, but someone said, and I thought it was very personal. I'm trying to think who said it. It was on Twitter. No, it was on Facebook. It might have been. Was that idea? I think we might have said this before with Gareth. The whole idea that, you know, you have Darth Vader in Rogue One isn't very much like Darth Vader was in the films. Mm. He's a Darth Vader that people like to imagine.
Yeah.
They see in a comic in an extended universe is where they can embellish the character, where he storms through a corridor just wiping everyone out with his lightsaber, which you wouldn't really imagine in the films, but that's what the fans wanted to see.
Yeah, he's basically the Darth Vader of the video games Force Unleashed and
Absolutely, those things. And that's what they wanted, but it's not actually really, if you look at the first three films, the sort of thing you'd imagine him particularly doing.
No.
He would just let his stormtroopers burst in, as he does in Hoth, as he does in the first film, and then he'd come out after and interrogate someone. But it's what fans wanted. And so I think that's what they had with The Last Jedi, is they didn't get that what fans wanted, which was Luke to suddenly swoop down in his X-Wing fighter, fully back into the fight after a Rocky-like montage of building himself up and kicking some ass. And they didn't get that, and that for them was very frustrating.
Which is very frustrating, because that is exactly what he did. He did kick some ass.
Yes, he did.
So,
someone said in the most perfect way, which was in a way which was actually non-violent, because he couldn't hurt anyone. It was the ultimate Jedi approach in some ways.
There was another thing that I saw about Star Wars recently, which was about the Jedi quote unquote uniform.
Oh yeah.
About how Obi-Wan Kenobi wears those clothes in Star Wars because he's on Tatooine, and that's what people wear on Tatooine. And for some reason, and the same goes for Luke to some extent, and for some reason they've used the clothes that Obi-Wan wears in Star Wars for the prequels, where the Jedis are all like in cities and what have you. So they're wearing these ridiculous robes whilst they're strolling around cities. So it's a case of sort of like, I don't know what you'd call it, but the intimation, of course, is that he's in disguise as a Jedi on Tatooine when he's supposed to be in hiding.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, it's Return of the Jedi which makes the fault, isn't it? Because that's the first one. The black outfit of Luke is like a slight variant, a more neat variant of his Star Wars outfit, probably intentionally. He's got a sort of like a sort of slight cloth top, which has a belt that binds it, and then the black cloak, which he slowly loses through the film until the last act, where he's just got a uniform shirt thing was underneath it. But yeah, maybe that's the first step. And then you're totally right, and that does make it funny, the fact that that would have made him stand out rather than blend in, given that register. It's like the regeneration from Eccleston being all that time energy, which then becomes the staple way that regeneration starts to be seen in the new series of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. That's really true. Yeah, it's definitely that Obi-Wan stuff was to do with, because it is just not. It is in no way good for a Jedi to have a long cloak, like those hooded cloaks that you might use in sort of deserty areas as a standard part of your outfit with a lightsaber.
Absolutely.
That's really interesting.
This is a Beyond Casterbrus podcast, available on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrus.com.